If you could open that door, that'd be great. Thank you. I first wanted to say thank you to the Girl Scouts of America for their new face masks today. And with these face masks happened to go some Girl Scout cookies, so particularly appreciative of the Girl Scouts today. I'm delighted to be joined by Dr. Nate Smith, Secretary of Health, but also Stuart Walton, the chairman of the Economic Recovery Task Force, and I appreciate his leadership. Let me make a couple announcements, then we'll get to the cases. First, I did want to confirm that I have put the National Guard back on a normal status. And so, in essence, they have been deactivated. They were called up as support and caution. And I talked to both Colonel Bryant and the Adjutant General today, and I have put them on normal status. Secondly, I did want to mention that I've had some very good meetings with some of the protest leaders, some wonderful leaders in our community, and young leaders across the state. And I told them that today I would have an executive order ready. That's going to be tomorrow, and I'll have an announcement at 11 o'clock tomorrow in reference to a task force that deals with police training, certifications, and standards. And I'll look forward to that specific announcement tomorrow at 11 o'clock. Now, if we turn to the cases, this last Saturday, while we were not in session here, we did have an increase of 450 cases. Sunday, we had an increase of 335 cases. And then coming to today, we had a total of 9,426 total cases. Over the last 24 hours, we add an additional 314 cases. That brings our total to 9,740. In terms of hospitalizations, as you could see over the weekend, there was a decrease of some, but in the last 24 hours, we've had an increase of hospitalizations from 145 up one to plus 26 new hospitalizations. That brings us to 171. In terms of deaths, we've had one additional death. That brings us to 155, a great loss for the people of Arkansas. In terms of testing, we did 4,131 tests over the last 24 hours, which means, as you know, we set a goal of testing 120,000 for the month of June, and we're on target to meet that goal, which is an extraordinary success of our expanded testing in the state. Just a, you know, a note from not the last 24-hour cases, but previous to that, I looked at some of the data, and when you looked in Washington County, 41 of the cases were associated with 15 households, 92 cases in Springdale. It was interesting that the youngest was 10 months of age, and the oldest was 72, average age 29.5. With that average age, it would be my hope that there would be a very good recovery rate from those new cases. And that's just one snapshot. I can't give you any more. I'm always interrupting myself. In terms of the counties over the last 24 hours, two counties of note, Washington County, 86 new cases, and Benton County, 41 cases. All the rest of the counties in Arkansas had fewer than 20 new cases. And so you can see the fairly significant difference between the growth rate in Benton and Washington County versus the rest of the state. And now we'll go to the slides. The number of new cases in Arkansas, you can see the height there of 450 new cases. What was that Saturday? Then sequentially down over the last 2 days, but still at a high rate. You go to the 7-day rolling average, and you'll see the trend line is still going up. And then the next, the number of currently hospitalized COVID patients, you can see where we jumped up there again. That has a new height of hospitalized. And then the next slide is the number of active cases. And I don't show this every day, but sometimes I get asked about this. So these are the active cases and that trend line. In terms of active cases, we're right at 3,000 active cases across the state of Arkansas, which is more than we've ever had before that we're aware of. Next, this I showed just because it's the regions again. I didn't show each of the different regions by a different slide, but this is the very colorful slide showing the 7-day rolling average for the different regions of our state, of course, the five public health regions. The blue is the Northeast, which is that lowest trend line. The orange is the Northwest, which is the highest trend line. And then you have the Southwest, which is the green, which you can see is a low trend line that went up to about 40, and then it's tapped down. And then you have Central, which is the one that started the cases the earliest. That is the blue trend line. And you can see here again, everyone has a different trend line. And there you had two distinct peaks in Central Arkansas, as you note, with the blue. And now it is down at a much more one of the lowest trend lines in the state. And then the Southeast is the other blue, and you can see that that's at a low level. Now, what I wanted to point out also is that, you know, of course, in Northwest, you've got the last couple days, so you've got a dip in the last couple days, and then on each of the others, you've got the nose pointing down of the trend line, so that's helpful. We'll see where it goes from here. And then if you'll go to the next slide, is the positivity rate on our testing. And it's been pointed out that whenever I give, you know, last 24 hours, positivity rate is, I believe it was 4.5% over the last 24 hours. That is not that relevant of a figure. And so I'm going to stop referencing that as much. But what is relevant is the corrected information, and because that's when all the tests come in. And so this information has been added to, and it is corrected or it's adjusted. And the look at the overall positivity rate through that timeline is 6%. And that's what we're watching here. And, of course, the last 24 hours, the positivity rate is a little bit higher. I think that's about 7%, it looks like, and which is a little bit higher. But that's what we're watching, though, and those are the adjusted positivity rates that does tell us exactly where we are. And then before we go into the Dr. Smith and then Stuart with some comments on the economic recovery, I did want to mention that previously, I think last Friday, Dr. Smith and I talked about the different regions and whether we ought to make an adjustment from looking at it simply from a statewide approach to a regional approach. And we're not ready to make any jumps or changes in that direction. We'll continue to evaluate exactly what is the option, if there should be an option, from how we're looking at the state. I always like to, what do we know? What do we know? And when we look at what we know, then it's helpful to make decisions on where we might need to go. So I just wrote down about six things that I know and have confidence in right now. One is that the regions of the state are all at different stages of the epidemic, and their trend lines are different. All the regions are different. Second, the future spread is not predictable. Just like 1 month ago, we were looking at Benton and Washington County, which had very, very few cases, and now they've escalated. If you look at Sebastian and Crawford County, what does their future hold, or Scott County, or Southeast Arkansas? And so the future of their spread is not predictable in terms of geography. Third, the data shows that the cases are not related to the lifting of restrictions. And that's an important fact we continue to monitor. Fourth, our increased testing helps us to shine the flashlight on where the challenges are that we face and the new cases and how we address those. And number five, we do know that self-discipline and social discipline is a constant that we need to continue to exercise in the state of Arkansas, regardless of whether the cases go up or the cases go down, and that is true until we get a vaccine. And then finally, the economy must keep moving and generating and creating jobs and providing people the opportunity to make a living and support their business. Those are things that I know right now, I have confidence in, that will guide the decisions that we make. And of course, we urge everyone to make sure you do social distance and self-discipline through the course of this. Dr. Smith.
Thank you, Governor. I'd like to give a few more details, and I'd also like to give some additional details on that graph that had the five regions, and so if we could pull that up at some point. As the Governor indicated, we've had 314 new cases since yesterday. 13 of them were associated with correctional facilities, and 301 were in the community. So our total is 9,740. Of those 9,740, 2,955 are active cases. Of those active cases, 139 are in nursing homes, 106 are in correctional facilities, 2,710 are active community cases. Since yesterday, we've had, as the governor mentioned, a net increase of 26 hospitalizations to 171. We currently have 46 patients on ventilators. That's an increase of 11 from yesterday. We've had one new death, so we're at 155. And we have 6,630 who have recovered. That's 206 increase from yesterday. Among nursing home residents, we have 55 cases in nursing homes that have tested positive, and 18 staff that have tested positive. We have had the largest number in the Southern Pines Health and Rehab facility in Prescott, Arkansas. We have also had in our correctional facilities 115 new cases at the FCI in Forest City. They had some symptomatic patients among those barracks that had previously tested negative, and so they've done additional testing there. In terms of where our new cases are coming from, the governor's already indicated that Washington and Benton counties are our top counties. We have had 13 cases coming from Pulaski County, Saline County 11, Sebastian 11, and Sevier County 11 as well. The governor's mentioned our testing. We did 4,131 tests yesterday. We've had consistently over 4,000 tests per day every day of this month except for the first day. So our total is 28,862. So we're ahead of our target for 1% of our population each week, or 120,000 tests for the month. The governor mentioned that we're not seeing a relationship between these new cases and the businesses that we've opened. Specifically, of our active cases, only 2% of them reported having visited a restaurant in the previous 14 days. And of those, that doesn't mean that that's where they got it. They just had visited a restaurant. Less than 1% had been to a barbershop, 1% to a church, 0.3% had been to a gym, and 0.5% had been to a hotel or a motel. I want to go back through the regional graphs here just to give some a little bit more detail clarifying. Can you go to the forward to the I'm sorry, let's go to the one that has all of them together. The colorful one. There we go. As the governor pointed out, this orange line is northwest, and that's really what's driving our increase in new cases, as you can see. In parallel to that, the southwest is in green. It's also been increasing, but the numbers are much, much lower. The numbers in northwest have been almost four times as many as the ones in southwest, and the growth in cases in southwest has been mostly due to Daquin in Sevier County. The yellow one, which is central, had that early peak, went down, recently has had some increase, and then has stabilized. And we've seen a similar pattern with the hospitalizations in central region. The one that's all spiky, that blue, is the southeast. They had those two large increases related to the correctional facilities, to the Cummins facility and the Pine Bluff, and also the FCI in Forest City, somewhere in there. But then they've been down at fairly low levels, a little bit of an increase, but they are the flattest of the curves there. And then you have the northwest is in a lighter color blue. It has also gone up, but it's lower than central and lower than southwest. So in four of our five public health regions, we've seen increases, but the one that is much, much greater in magnitude is the northwest. And again, we've not seen increases related to the businesses that we've opened up over the last month, but we have had seen clusters in correctional facilities. We've seen clusters in nursing homes. We've seen clusters with some of our essential industries. We've mentioned the poultry industry before, and then we have we've also seen community transmission as well. With that, I'll turn it back over to the governor.
Stuart.
Good afternoon. It's good to be back in Little Rock. And just have a few remarks I wanted to share. One is that we had a task force meeting and actually held it in person today. I think that is a little bit of an accomplishment that is a good sign for the state. We actually had, I'm guessing, about 20 to 25 members in person there. We were all socially distanced. But we were able to hear from the governor. Thank you, Governor, for showing up and giving us a good message. We heard from Dr. Smith. Thank you, Dr. Smith. We also heard from Mervyn Jebaraj from the University of Arkansas Walton College. Dr. Jebaraj gave us some updates on the economy, both the state economy and how we're doing relative to other places, nearby states, and on the U.S. as a whole. I think, broadly speaking, you know, small businesses do continue to suffer an outsized portion of this impact than large businesses. But there are certainly some numbers out there that back up what I think a lot of us feel, which is that Arkansas, on balance, is handling this situation pretty well and that we're doing better than some of our neighboring states with respect to where our economy's at. Versus where it was, say, in January and February, and where it's kind of been able to recover back to. We didn't have quite the same trough as some other states, and we've made a little bit better progress in the return. The task force continues ahead. We delivered our interim report just over a week ago. We aim to continue our work, certainly through the month of June, and we'll be working on another report as the month unfolds. The website is probably the best place to continue to find information that we put out there for businesses, customers, stakeholders, owners, managers, employees. We have launched a Spanish language translation of the website. It's available now in Spanish. And well, as well as we've posted our Spanish language interim report on the website. And we would encourage folks to just take a look at that. The guidelines that are in there are still up to date, and we think that's a good resource really for all Arkansans. Finally, I want to just kind of highlight here this message, good for you, good for Arkansas. It's stuff that we are, or some work that we're putting out to try to get folks to just understand the critical importance of social distancing. When to wear a mask, when you need to wear a mask. There's some research out there actually around a mask being almost as effective as a vaccine itself. And so getting people to comply with the social distancing norms, really encouraging people to practice social distancing and listen to the owners of restaurants or gyms in terms of following the guidelines that are issued by the Department of State. We really don't have anything to lose, and it's something that is going to help our state. It's going to help our country. It's going to help our economy in this recovery. I know that I, obviously being from Northwest Arkansas, have a deep concern for the numbers that are going up there. And I would describe my point of view on the overall state as concerned but optimistic. I think concerned, obviously, because of the increase in cases, but optimistic because I do think that we are taking targeted steps with better information to move the economy forward, but also battle the health crisis. You're not going to escape the interlinked nature of these two crises. And as we continue to try to solve for the economic side, we will also try to encourage people to behave in a way that allows us to tackle the health side as well. You know, I think as the governor talked, the positivity rate, you know, he talked a little bit about that maybe being not the best number, the 4% not being the best number. He's giving you good information. I feel like the information that we have today is far better than the information we had, you know, a month ago, or certainly 2 months ago. I think it's letting us target our work, both at the task force level, but also at the Department of Health level. And I expect that kind of continued development and specific focus to guide the task force and guide the Department of Health as we proceed through this. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Stuart, and I particularly appreciate your perspective and the analysis that you bring to it. With that, we'll turn it over for any questions. Yes.
Governor, are you still considering a regional approach to moving into phase two in the future?
We're just leaving the options open. I wanted to, particularly over the, after we looked at it over the weekend, I want to continue to look at it. So as to the future direction, stay tuned. We might stay exactly where we are. We might look at different options. So we're anxious to use the data that we have to reach the right decision that balances the safety of our Kansans, but also make sure we can continue to open our businesses and provide the living that people expect and need. Yes.
The death number is extraordinary compared to other days. I've wondered what was to account for that. Are some of these deaths previously categorized as some other illness?
Whenever you say compared to other states, they're extraordinarily low. They're extraordinarily low compared to other states.
Extraordinary compared to this daily briefing. 26 deaths in one. Is that not extraordinary?
Hospitalizations, not deaths.
I don't mean deaths. I'm sorry.
Hospitalizations.
I apologize.
That's all right. I'll let Dr. Smith address the issue of the hospitalizations.
Sorry. Yes. 26 new hospitalizations is quite an increase. It's concerning. We're still not anywhere near our capacity as a state. We're not in danger of exceeding our capacity, but we'll be checking with the hospitals that have received patients just to make sure that no individual hospital is being overtaxed. Because we have had such an increase in the number of cases, it's not that surprising that that hospitalizations would come next. And I won't be surprised if we have additional deaths, unfortunately. You know, we've only had one new death reported in the last 24 hours, despite, you know, lots of new cases, you know, quite a few hospitalizations. That's a lagging indicator. It means we'll probably see an increase coming up later, although many of our new cases have been in younger individuals, and so the likelihood of recovery is higher in that group.
Would it be mostly Northwest than this 26?
Yes.
Okay. You said as a state we're not in danger of exceeding our capacity. Is that the same for every region, or is there any region that might be closer, and are there any hospitals that are currently full?
Well, we're monitoring that very, very carefully. I mean, 26 patients is a lot of patients, but you know, most of the hospitals, even in the Northwest, have much larger bed capacity than that. And of course, there's always the option of transferring patients if one hospital becomes has more than they are comfortable with.
I would also point out that the hospitals are continuing to do alternative procedures and other surgeries, and so they're not only handling the COVID patients they might have, but also the other procedures that are necessary. And we've, of course, our hospital capacity in Arkansas is well over 8,000, and so we feel comfortable where we are, but it's something we continue to watch. And Jay, we've missed you. And they almost talked about you voting you off the island. So glad to have you back, Jay.
I guess what's changed in your approach to the potential of regionalization? Because last week you did seem pretty adamant of we're going to move the state forward sort of as one unit instead of having, you know, each region kind of on a different step.
Well, you're right. I've been very firm in trying to keep the state to move forward together as a state and not divide us up into regions. And whenever you look most recently with the growth in Northwest Arkansas, but you know, in Southeast Arkansas particularly, it's flat, it's low, marginal number of cases. Do we, with their low density in population, do we keep them restricted, or do we speed up their ability to open up in phase two in the restaurants? And so that's a very important question, and so that's what we were wrestling with. Of course, I expected, 30 days ago that we were on the decline and that we were all going to be able to go into phase two together. I hope that's still the case, but that's what provoked us to look at it. Now, as I said from the very beginning, these sessions are for me to be honest and let you part of the journey as we go through this. And so Friday, I was looking at different options. As you look at it, you realize that different options have some weaknesses in them. And so all of a sudden, if you divide our state into regions, as I pointed out in sort of the principles and things that I have confidence in, is that what might be a safe region today might not be tomorrow. And the geography seems to shift. The trend line shifts. And so we just want to look at this more thoughtfully, take a little bit more time on it. And so we might stay exactly where we are, or we might make adjustments depending upon what the data shows.
Do you believe people are letting their guard down on social distancing practices? And do you track how many of the new cases, say, wear a mask, are in groups larger than 10, that kind of thing?
Dr. Smith might have some insights. I'd be a little bit surprised if they track that, but that might not be a bad question. In terms of my own observations as to whether people are letting their guard down, by and large, no. I mean, if you look at today in face coverings, wearing masks, being socially disciplined out there and distancing, it is more predominant today than it was 30 days ago. I have that confidence in my observations. I think the most recent really mass gatherings of the protests demonstrated that. People said, we're going to get out. This is important. But they had masks on, and they tried to protect themselves and others. You know, there's always a element of our society, of our citizens, that look at what they see and they say, well, it's not a problem anymore, so let's just go out and do anything we want to do. That's the wrong approach. I think that's a minority, and I believe the example of businesses, industry, community leaders to set the right example has made a difference. Is there anyone remotely wants to ask a question?
Yes, Governor, this is Melissa Ziegler with Channel 11. This might be a better question for Dr. Smith, but considering the protests, Are you asking the protesters to, you know, get tested just for safety? And also, if you find out that if a protester did test positive, how will contact tracing work?
I would encourage anyone who feels like they may have been at risk for COVID-19 to go avail themselves of testing. We offer those in all of our local health units, as well as some off-site events, particularly on weekends, or people can go to their private doctor and get tested. Contact tracing is more challenging in a setting where people may be in a crowd with a lot of people they don't know, you know, we will do our best with that. If we start to see cases that are associated with protests, we do hope that when people participate in that, that they do wear masks, they try and keep at least a 6-foot distance, wash their hands, do the other things to keep themselves and others safe. What we are finding with COVID-19 is that where it spreads most readily is in congregate living settings like nursing homes, correctional facilities within homes, and is less apt to transmit in a highly efficient way with more casual contact, like going to the grocery store or even in work sites where measures have been put into place to try and implement distancing, masks, screening, and things of that sort. We have to take precautions wherever we go, but the situations that we're most concerned about are where people have prolonged close contact with one another, and if people can avoid that, then there's many things they can do, including expressing their First Amendment rights. They can do that safely.
Dr. Smith, I failed to get you to answer that. In your contact tracing, do you verify whether the person who contracted the virus wore a mask or not?
No, we don't gather that information. That is challenging. There's so many variables there. How often they wore the mask, what kind of mask they wore. And then, of course, we see a variety of mask-wearing behaviors I've mentioned already, the below the nose, the on the chin, over the mouth and nose, except when you're talking, which is when you're at most at risk. So, again, the masks that we wear do, it turns out, offer some protection, but they're mostly designed as source control to keep you from transmitting to another person.
One more question remotely.
Hi, Governor. This is Tiffany Lee with 5 News. Kind of going off of what she said, I was wondering if, with all the community cases recently, do y'all know if any of them are from the protest, and is there a way that y'all can track that?
We have not identified any of the new cases from the protest at this point. Obviously, the cases that came in over the weekend, they'll continue to be traced, and we will see what that data indicates. Did you have anything to add on that? And do you have a question?
Last week, the state of Arkansas saw a significant rise in cases just in general, and I was wondering if that might be associated with Memorial Day because of the 10 to 14 day period in between.
Okay. Dr. Smith, that got technical over above my head.
Right. Of course, some of the activities that occurred more in Memorial Day, we know, put people at risk. At this point, it's hard to identify it and pin it exactly to that. Part of it is because we all experienced Memorial Day. It's not some that did and some that didn't. And we have seen a continuous increase, not a bump, and then going down. So it's quite possible that there were a number of cases related to activities that people did on Memorial Day. But it's hard to pull that out, based on the pattern we're seeing.
A couple more questions.
Regarding the National Guard, can you comment how you think local police have handled the protests over the past couple days, and is that command structure that you set up with state police on top, is that remaining in place in Little Rock?
The emergency order that I signed remains in place. Secondly, the command structure remains in place, although part of that is that we will reduce the number of police officers and units that are deployed because we've had very successful local law enforcement work and protection of property in recent days. And so the unified structure will still be in place to support local law enforcement. I've talked to the mayor, and he indicated that the Little Rock Police Department would be out protecting property as need be and protecting protesters. And let me emphasize, the protesters have really done a nice job of articulating their message. But also making sure that they're not a part of any violent or destructive activities. It's some of the outliers that have come in that we had to call the law enforcement to stop, but hopefully that has been discouraged and deterred.
Just kind of clarify this for me. So with positivity rate, is that sort of a statistic we're kind of backing off, relying on when it comes to things?
Oh, no. It's a very, very important statistic, and I didn't diminish it at all. I still look at that. It's just whenever we give you the positivity rate over the last 24 hours, that has to be adjusted up a little bit because there's some more that comes in. And so I was saying that what is most reliable is the positivity rate from 48 hours ago after it has been adjusted. And that's what the information you're seeing on that trend line. So it is very, very important to us. That tells us whether we're testing in the right areas and also to the extent of the spread that's out there.
Dr. Smith, I don't know if you tracked anything with this, but is there anything anecdotally about the effectiveness of any of the remdesivir that we've used with patients?
We don't have data on effectiveness of remdesivir from Arkansas at this point, but we are happy that we have continued to get supplies and push those out to the hospitals. We know from the trials that have been done, it does seem to at least reduce the duration of hospitalizations, and more studies are ongoing. But that's a very positive thing. We're very glad to be able to provide those to the hospitals.
I think that's good for today, so thank you, and I appreciate your attention to this.